This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Red Sox fans, here are the bastards of Boston baseball.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Red Sox Deep Dives. Job Goddard, Andrew Dwan with me for this episode. Going to be doing a lot of talk on Rafael Devers, Xander Bogaerts, what their long-term futures might be. Should their long-term futures be in Boston? How do they fit? We could get into some alignments. Should they stay or go? So it should be a pretty loaded episode as far as that goes. Before I bring those two in, getting it out of the way, attention listeners across the galaxy, all the way from Australia to Boston, do we have a pew problem? If so, our friends at Manscaped have cleared you for takeoff with their fourth generation and brand new Lawnmower 4.0. Kick your pubes to the next planet with the Performance Package 4.0. The orbits in your pants will feel like you're in zero gravity when you use the best tools for the job from the leaders in male grooming. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get your rocket ready for takeoff by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20. The Weed Whacker is also waterproof and uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. The nose and ear trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. Haven't read that one yet. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. For a clean Trinity and beyond, your Spaceballs will thank you. How are you
getting more and more natural with that?
Yeah, normally the second one I start to flub. You know, the first one I'm a little sharper, but then the fatigue, you know, sets in. And never use Manscaped while you're fatigued. I'm sure there's a disclaimer on that somewhere. But yeah, so Andrew, I'm going to kick it over to you. This was your topic. You came up with it. So let's get into it.
All right. Yeah. So this is something I kind of teased at the beginning of the season where I said, if I had a bold prediction that this would be the time to enjoy Xander Bogaerts for the final time in a Red Sox uniform. And John Tomasi kind of brought that up in an article this past week, and there were mixed reactions on the fan base's side, which is understandable because people grow attached, people buy jerseys, people name dogs after these players that they've, you know, seen for the last decade. And everyone loves a homegrown player. We saw that with Mookie. I think us here understand that long-term contract was not going to be feasible, and it's already looking not great for the Dodgers. But Xander is a different animal. He took a lower salary, and Boris said it. Boris wasn't happy to stay with the team for his previous contract, and that it has one more year on it. And he's becoming a liability in the field, which would be okay, but you also have Rafael Devers really, really falling apart defensively on the left side. So you have to extend him, and you're running into this issue of what's your plan going forward? You can't have a game where, you know, what, 7 out of 9 guys in the lineup are, you know, bat right-handed, are going to be pulling the ball. You're really putting your pitchers in a bad situation if the expected on-base average goes through the roof when it goes to one of those two. And I don't know what they're going to do once Xander's opt-out comes through, because you're coming up to a class of free agent shortstops that is unprecedented. And there's one that I made the prediction of earlier this year that I kind of teased a second ago, was Carlos Correa. I know he's probably enemy number one or top 10 throughout baseball based off his history with the Astros, but there's no denying the talent he is. He's putting together an MVP-esque, obviously won't win it, season down in Houston. And he is one of the greatest fielders in the game right now. He also has a good relationship with Alex Cora, who we know can get good results out of his players. I think we're approaching a spot where Chaim Bloom is going to have to make a decision, and it's going to be a very tough one. He's going to get ripped no matter what he does. Me personally, I say give Devers the money. We'll figure out the position. And then I say throw sentiment to the wind. I'm sorry, Xander, if you're willing to accept the position change, then we can work through this. But I don't see a situation where Xander is in a Red Sox uniform after next season.
Okay, so yeah, so it's next season where he's the opt-out, which doesn't really coincide with the free agent explosion of shortstops this winter. So I just wanted to make sure that was...
Yeah, no, but
let me read you those shortstops, though. Well, let me read you the positions that are available at shortstop. You've got Simmons, Baez, Correa, Seager, and Rojas are the top shortstops on the board.
And Trevor Story.
And
Trevor Story, Carlos Correa, and Marcus Semien, who was a shortstop until this year.
Now, true. I can read one. There's one more name on this list here. This is by Spotrac, right, who always seem to have the right free agents. There's actually two more names on this list that I think might be worth considering. One is Freddy Galvis. I think that that's something we could talk about. And the last one on the list is now Jose Iglesias. He's going to be 31, making $570,000. That's a Chaim Bloom signing.
But the situation where I'm talking about where there's going to be a major shakeup is the only – I think they would try to approach Xander about a position change if they landed Baez, Story, or Correa, or Semien. One of those four. I don't think they're probably going to go after Corey Seager, but
now here's the question, though. Why would they do that only if they land a big-name guy in the same age range as Xander? Why not go get a defensive guy and put Xander at second? It's not like Xander mashes home runs.
Then, I mean, that's harder to sell Xander on that. And I'm assuming one of these high price free agents is also rep by Boris. So, you know, you can
eat, many of them are.
You can smooth that blow a little bit easier there. Because we know the last time that Xander was asked to switch positions, it didn't go well. He turned it into just an absolute wreck. And, you know,
that was early in his career, though.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So here's the question, though, Andrew, right? When you look at comparable contracts to what it would cost to bring Correa in here, you're looking at a Xander Bogaerts extension in the same neighborhood as well to keep him here, because I think the only way that he will move is if you pay him like a shortstop. I think half the reason he wanted to play shortstop so badly is he wanted to get paid like a shortstop and not a second baseman.
And Boris said he is going to get paid as a shortstop. He said his next contract will be based off as him being a shortstop.
But if you pay him like a shortstop, you think he'll move positions? And where would you put him?
I don't want to pay him. And I know that's a hot take, but I don't want to give him 7 years.
Are you talking about Correa?
You're going to need to give Correa 7 years.
Oh, Correa. Oh, no. Okay. Jobe, you're talking about Xander, right?
I was talking about Xander, but if you don't pay Xander and you pay Correa, you're going to have to pay Correa for 7 years as well, maybe even 8 years.
I think you have options with Carlos Correa. I think you can go 7 or 8. I also think you can go higher at 4 or 5 because he is reaching the
younger.
Point. Exactly. He just turned 27.
He's going to want a long-term deal. He doesn't have the he doesn't have the durability to take the chance on a short-term deal. I mean, 2017, 109 games, 2018, 110 games, 2019, only 75 games. So, not a great record of health there, and I think Correa and Bogarts are going to be the same player in their 30s. I think they're going to be very injury prone.
But Correa has 3 years until he hits that.
He's 3 years younger. You're trading down. As far
if you offered Carlos Correa 5 years, $35 million, and maybe that fifth is a player option, I think he takes it. And then he hits free agency at 32.
I think he's looking for a deal simpler, you know, similar to like an Anthony Rendon deal, where he's going to want 7 years, $250 million. I mean, I really think that's what he's going to look for.
I don't see
it. If you think about it, that's the length, Terry, that Rendon signed when he left the Nationals at 27 years old or 29 years old. Now, that's similar to age than Correa. Correa's a better hitter, more accomplished player than Anthony Rendon. And that was already 2 years ago that he took that deal in L.A.
I mean, he
might be looking at a Francisco Lindor deal, 10 years, $340 million.
I don't see a scenario in which Boris lets him take less than 7 or 8. I really don't.
And I'm not going to lie. I would feel confident giving him a 7-year deal. I wouldn't mind having his last year being 34. I think that doesn't happen anymore where you hand a guy, a free agent, a street free agent, a 7-year deal, and he's not approaching 36. So, and the reason I lean towards Correa and the reason I brought this whole argument up is
the connection to Cora, no? I mean,
to Cora, but it also allows you the errors of Devers. You know, he's going to eat up a lot of those balls on the left side of the infield that have become a problem. Xander can't go to his right. He can't. If he goes there, he's going to knock it down. There's no play to be made. If Carlos Correa is over there, there are upteen plays that he's going to make. He's going to cut Devers off on the grass and make the play. He's going to cut Devers off on the dirt and make the play. And it's going to cover up some warts, which they don't have the luxury of right now. And that makes me nervous because Devers is the one of the two. And I think we can all agree on this. If you can only extend one of Devers or Bogarts, I think it's Devers 11. It's 11 times out of 10, right? I don't even think it's close.
100%, especially at the age which Devers is versus Bogarts. But if you look at Correa, and I don't mean to just destroy the Correa possibilities here, but his WAR at 6.21 career is comparable. It's higher than Francisco Lindor. He's a better defender than Francisco Lindor. He's younger than Francisco Lindor by 2 years. And Francisco Lindor just commanded a contract that was $340 million. I just don't see that they're going to pay that for a guy when you can probably pay Xander Bogaerts a little bit less and keep the fans equally as happy because you can sell them on that. I just don't know that that would be a situation they would be in.
Okay, then let me
pay $250 million. Then
can I follow this up with both of you? Then I kind of want to gauge you guys on this. What your extension for Xander Bogaerts getting paid as a shortstop be? Keep in mind he's going to want at least 5 years.
5 years, $30 million a year, and I don't know if that'll get it done, but that's what I would offer.
So that would be a new contract for 5 years, $150. That's what you're saying.
I'm saying post opt out.
Post opt out.
Yeah. So he's going to be what, 31?
He'll be 31. You sign him to a 5-year deal, $150 million flat. That's my guess on an offer.
I think that's probably going to be what he asks for. If he opts out, I'm not signing him, and that's it. I don't think he's going to be a good player in his 30s, and at some point, Meyer's going to be ready.
He could be a great second baseman.
You got Nick 30s. Yorke coming up, however he pronounces it. If Xander opts out, I'd let him go. The big problem is going to be, what if he doesn't opt out? Then you're stuck with him.
If he doesn't opt out, that'd be phenomenal, honestly.
That's ideal.
His contract isn't bad. It's only you $20 million a year.
But the defense.
Until
if he doesn't.
No place to
but
put
if
him.
If he doesn't opt out.
No place to put him.
You keep him at short, right? And then by the time his contract is up, hopefully Meyer's ready. That's 4 years from now.
You can also move him around and be like, fine, if you're that miserable, like, we can move you. You're only getting paid $20 million. Like,
yeah, we can we'll take a big haul.
Larger mountains have been moved.
He has a no-trade clause.
He does have the no-trade, but, yeah.
He's unhappy. I mean, he'll move. That's how they always are. I mean, a no-trade clause lets you determine where you go. We saw it with Max Scherzer. They wanted to deal him to San Diego. He said, screw that. I'm going to go play for the Dodgers. I want to win a title. And they took less from the Dodgers to move him.
This isn't like a JD opt-out either. This is you're in or you're out. It's not like, all right, what happens next year? What happens next year? You know, like when you're going through three off seasons in a row with player opt-outs. This is Xander's last chance to make money, quite frankly.
Oh, he's opting out. It's confirmed he's opting out by everybody from – Boris to the secretary in Boris's office who takes out the mail. I just don't know whether you bother. You know, if you are the Red Sox, when was the last time the Red Sox went out and spent a bunch of money at a position for a veteran that was not a clear upgrade? And this might be a hot take here, but I don't think there's a clear upgrade.
What was Theo last year?
Exactly. Right? I just don't know that there is a clear upgrade at shortstop across Major League Baseball than Xander Bogaerts. And I don't mean positionally, because defensively, he's a terrible shortstop. But as an overall player, you're not going to find a guy who is a more complete player than Xander Bogaerts for the money that you're going to have to pay him. You might as well pay him. I mean, unless you're going to go younger. And if you're going to go younger, you're going to pay a lot more money.
I don't think Heim Bloom is going to make a move this winter on any of those guys. I really don't think it's going to happen, at least at shortstop. But let's pretend he does for a second. Realistically, where do you move Xander long term? Because if you take him off a shortstop, he's never going back there. The long term guy.
I mean, if you pay him, it doesn't matter. If you pay him, you can put him in left. Who cares? He doesn't care.
Is he just gonna
get paid?
Is he gonna go in the outfield? I don't think so.
No. Oh God, no. So I think you have second, one. Who cares? I think you have one chance to show him. Say you get Correa, what Marcus Semien did this year at second base with the Blue Jays, and how much he is gonna get paid the year after, and you can sell him on that. Be like, listen, you're going to produce offensively just like Marcus, most likely, maybe a little less pop. That's not going to affect your value too much. A team is going to sign you. So I think you move him to second base. And he obviously doesn't have the experience, but I think he's a good enough ball player that he could learn that. And
if he opts in, right? That's your.
No, I'm just saying for next year, if the Red Sox went out and made a splash this offseason for a shortstop.
The most realistic scenario to me is this. If someone is signed and JD opts out, and I think that's the case, most likely, he will opt out. I'm fighting off a sneeze right now. I think what happens is JD goes, Xander moves over to third, Devers DHs. As unpopular as that might be, I think that's your best alignment.
I don't think Rafael Devers will DH without throwing a fit. I don't.
What if he has an extension? What if an extension is going to throw
the fit into the third row of the bleachers like he's been throwing from third base?
If he signs an extension, he'll be the highest paid designated hitter in the league. He won't care.
And I agree. It is tough for him to go into
be upset.
ARB 2 and 3 being labeled a DH. That would,
because you can't go back to the field.
His agent labeled
a DH. That's it. Right? His agent would be pissed. He would be upset. And you know, even though he is locked down with his contract for the next 3 years, you want this guy in your organization for the next 13. Like, he's the guy you want to sign to a big contract because that bat speed's not going anywhere. He's got a case to be, by the end of, you know, if he's healthy and he can stay healthy,
he's going to
one of the greatest hitters in Red Sox history.
He's going to Cooperstown.
I mean, unless he gets hurt, or you know, if you put him at DH, he might not want to be in Boston. Like, that's there's a big consideration because you don't get paid at DH. And if that changes with the new CBA and all of a sudden teams start paying guys to hit for 30 teams and not 15, well, that might change things. But even then, none of these agents want their players to DH until they sign a big contract. So if you're going to pay Rafael Devers in the offseason and then stick him at DH next season, sign me up and sign up the rest of Red Sox Nation, because we're all on board with that.
And I don't care what the figure is. I'm paying him based on his offense. I'm paying him because he's one of the most clutch
hitters.
He's
a defensive liability. I mean, hell, you'd rather have him just hitting.
I would. I absolutely would. But I don't really care. I don't want the annual total, I guess, to go above 30, let's say. But he's extremely clutch. He's extremely clutch. This is the second full season, because you got to go back to 2019 for the previous full season. He's going to be a top 10 MVP guy. He's probably going to be an MVP at least probably twice at some point in his career. And in a pinch, if a third baseman gets hurt, he can go play third base again, or he can play first base again if you have an injury over there probably.
Now here's a question I have for the both of you, that based on the situation with these contracts, I'm going to assume they don't go out and spend a lot of money on a shortstop. I think that's probably not the way they want to go. Their holes coming up are at DH. I think they already have their DH of the future in either Schwarber or Devers, whoever they pay. I think it'll be Devers, I hope. If you sign Devers to an extension and you move him to DH, why don't you go get a defensive third baseman? A guy who really, like, absorbs balls like a vacuum at third. And I would even consider putting Jose Iglesias. I would sign Jose Iglesias to a 2-year deal and put him at third. And let him hoover up balls. He can go from third and basically be the de facto shortstop there.
Well, today's day and age, third base is a very offensive heavy position. You'd be putting yourselves behind the eight ball there.
I agree with that, but I mean, Jose Iglesias is not really a slouch. I mean, he's hitting 260, not a lot of pop, granted, but you're basically going to count on him to make up for the lack of range that Xander Bogaerts has.
Well, I mean,
I wouldn't hate that.
He's going to be cheap no matter what. So, I mean,
he's making $575,000. Like, stick him on the bench for 2 years and $1.5 million.
Well, that's what I was about to say. I mean, he could, at the very least, could be a bench guy and just be your Brock Holt, essentially, at least in the infield. But let me ask you guys this, though, getting back to Devers. Is there any reason not to sign him this winter? Are we worried about money for any reason right now, regardless of what our other targets are this offseason? I don't see why we are.
The only thing that would give me, well, not even hesitation, the only hurdle I could see is if something really, really stupid happened with the CBA and Manfred did something dumb. But I can't imagine the MLB PA would succumb to that. So, no, I think you can probably sign him if his camp is willing to sign an extension this year. I don't necessarily think you have to buy out his arbitration years, which would be ideal if you didn't have to, because then that would be the best case, because once his contract kicked in, you'd have a lot of money off the books and you have young kids coming up. So, no, I absolutely think I would do it in a heartbeat.
I mean, I look at it and I say, this kid is the best homegrown hitter, just pure hitter, because I think he's a worse player than Mookie Betts at this point in his career. But he is the best hitter the Red Sox have come up with from a homegrown perspective
since Nomar.
In my lifetime. In okay. my lifetime. I would say he's a better hitter, pure hitter, than Nomar.
Well, no. Best since then, I would say, is how
okay,
I was going to
word
it.
Okay, best since Nomar, at least. Okay, yeah. I mean,
Nomar hit 372 in a season. Well, yeah.
All right. I'm, fair enough. But to
my
me,
Nomar blood runs deep.
As it should, right? I'm young. I only have, you know, 2003 and 4 Nomar up here in the dome to compare it to, and Nomar at the end is not Nomar of the late 90s, right? So I would sign Xander Bogaerts to an extension. I would sign Rafael Devers to the moon. Sign him for 13 years and whatever the hell he needs in order to play DH for the next generation of Red Sox fans. Like, I'm okay with it. I think he could be the cornerstone of a lineup for a long, long time. He's only 25 years old.
All right, then let's hear both of you guys' projected contracts, and then I'll give you what SpotTrack has him valued at.
Go ahead, Joe.
Sarah, you want to go first?
No, I already kind of know, but go ahead.
Okay, I think he's going to get 12 years. I think he's going to get 12 years, and I'm going to go with $310 million. That's my guess.
What's the you probably don't know the annual on that.
I have no idea what the AIV okay. is there. That's just a guess in my head. I think it's around 26, but I could be wrong.
I'm just going to take a very, a very even number here. I'm going to say he gets about what Manny Machado got, which was 10 years, $300 million.
Okay, so I shortchanged him a little bit then.
Well, you could be right. I'm just, that should be the ceiling. If we're going above that, then I start to wince a little bit.
That's how I look at it too, because his defense is not Machado's defense. I mean, Machado is an all-star defensively too.
I mean, I think Machado, based on what we're seeing, kind of took a discount a little bit.
I don't disagree with that. And, You know, if you are the Padres, you're stoked about the future of your infield, because Machado's there for a little while on a cheap deal. You just signed the best player in baseball to a long-term deal. The rest will fall into place eventually. I mean, he's not that. That's why I went with 12 years, 310. I think he's a little lower than that.
All right, so then I'm going to give you what SpotTrack has him project as for his market value. Well,
so
and they are.
What would you give him? What would you give him?
So I would try to
inside track on this, but
well, not even based off of that. I would try to buy out his two arbitration years, because I do think they are going to get pricey after his production this year, and then he'll probably break a record his third. I would give him 12 years, $330 million.
Okay,
and that's buying out the final two, and then I would put him at 27.5.
So anything less than three is a bargain then.
Yes, I think so. So really quick, SpotTrack has him at 8 years, $234 million. It's 29.2 a year.
I would do that.
I'd pay him
instantly.
Yeah.
Pay him now, but I want him for longer than 8 years, and I know that contract's only going to get, you know, his contract would only go up from there, so I would give him 12, especially if the plan is to put him at DH and not at third base for the majority of that contract, which I would have to assume it would be, then I want him for a longer period of time, because we've seen guys like Nelson Cruz, I mean, the bat speed is the last thing to go.
True.
And I'm not going to lie, I do want to see a little commitment on his end too. I don't want to see him sign that and then look like he just like got loose in a Vegas buffet for 3 months straight.
Well, yeah, because
that would really piss me off.
You're comparing him to Pablo. That's a Pablo comparison. But here's where
I was thinking Miguel Cabrera back in the day.
Okay, one of them's a good baseball player and the other's not, right? I mean, let's be honest. Pablo's not a good player. But I want to just, like, rewind a little bit. What I said was 12 years, 310. That's about 25 per. I think for a DH, that's fair. Right? That's 25 and a third per.
You can also...
I would pay him up to 3. I mean, I'd pay him up to 30. Anything less than 30, I think you're in bargain territory for him.
You can also front load it. The average annual value won't change per the CBA if it stays the same, that is, but you could make it a more tradable contract on the back end, but he would have 10-5 rights anyway, but if that stays in there. So there's so many things up in the air, I guess. But one thing though with the Pablo comparison, the thing that encourages me that Devers won't go that route, at least offensively, is that he is a gamer, and you see him get upset when things aren't going well. And quite frankly, I'm starting to get a little annoyed.
He cares about
that.
The game.
Yeah, he does. He wants to, he wants to be a good player. So, so that's why I have less reservations about pulling the trigger on a deal like that.
I mean, this is going to be a controversial opinion for a lot of people, but to me, he is already the best player on the Red Sox. Like, I don't think that
it's
Xander Bogaerts. I don't think that it's Chris Sale. I think it's already Rafael Devers, and he's only 23 years old or 24 years old.
I don't think that's a hot take whatsoever. I think he is.
I think he might be already one of the top 5 hitters in baseball. Like, I look at it that way. I mean, he's right up there with Vlad Guerrero Jr. and Ohtani and Tatis and Soto. Like, he could be Juan Soto. If he just focused on hitting instead of third base, like, what is his ceiling? It can only go up.
It could. And last I checked, he was leading also in 2021 with most doubles hit, which surprises me because his average is a bit lower than years past, but
yeah, he's hitting .278, but every ball that he hits is a line drive or a home run. I mean, they're all shots. He's nothing cheap for them, right. For Rafael Devers.
Absolutely. So we'll see. I'm not as big of a Bogaerts guy as I was previously. I'm a lot more pessimistic about what he'll be productively long term. And with all the guys we have in the pipeline, there's not going to be a spot for him, really.
And it's
well,
not
I get
like
concerned. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, I was going to say, it's not like you're out on the guy. You know what I mean? It's like I loved every second of Xander Bogaerts. Like, from him signing with his brother Jair as a, you know, international free agent when he was 16 to what he's become today, that's amazing. Not every player has to be a lifelong player. And it hurts for fans to accept that, but it is a business.
It's the circle of life.
You got to do what's best for your team. And sentimental things can absolutely kill you and derail your team.
Look at the Yankees.
I don't know if either of you guys are Pedro, you know, avid fans the way that I am when I look at Pedro. I assume you are.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Pedro had a conversation with David Ortiz on Jared Carrabba's new show, Call Him Poppy, which I listen to because I like Ortiz. I think the stories are pretty good, about how he got screwed in negotiations and he wishes he never took the deal with the Mets. And he wishes he was a lifer with the Sox, and he screwed up because in negotiations he told the Sox that. He said, I want to be here forever, and they lowballed him, like really, really lowballed him. And they
it's a good thing they
like
did.
$7 million a year. That is not something that I think fans understand, is that sometimes you have to accept that the player is going to get a lot of money elsewhere and just kind of live with it, right? I mean, no one on this fan base who follows the team expected Mookie Betts to get a $340 million deal from the Sox because we have somebody else who can do that. I worry that Chaim Bloom is the kind of general manager who thinks anyone can play the DH. Boston is one of the last, I would say, last two or three teams in baseball that has had a consistent DH for the last 20 years. I mean, teams now have phased it out. They play different guys there. They give guys breaks. That's how they keep their lineup fresh. And they don't focus on the power so much. And I wonder if maybe Chaim Bloom is one of those guys who won't pay Rafael Devers in order to be a DH.
That's because they were spending more money than anyone else was. The Yankees have done it too. They went Giambi, they Scherer for a bit, and obviously now Stanton. So they've given resources there. And it can honestly handcuff you if you don't have the right guy.
Stanton's deal when he signed with the Yankees was a monster free agent contract. He already had back issues. And he was already 27 years old. If you sign that exact same deal to Rafael Devers tomorrow, it pays off for the Sox. It just does. At the value that would be $330 for 11 years. That's a lot of money to pay a DH, but yeah. He's 23 years old, and that would be the prime years of his career.
It was actually a 13-year deal.
Even better. I mean, yeah. He'll be 35 and adios. You know, at that point, he's either signing a deal with the Sox for cheap money to be the face of the franchise to the end, or he's going somewhere else to live like Nomar at the end, just a forgotten player on another team where he's at the bottom of somebody's lineup and thinks about what was.
Well, last winter didn't go the way I thought it would. The trade deadline didn't go the way I thought it would. So, I mean, we seem to be way off with what Chaim Bloom actually does. So I want to see.
You know what gives me hope, Terry, though?
What's that?
Like, what gives me hope is that Tampa went out and traded for Nelson Cruz. Like, that's a guy at 43 years old who really can only DH. And I understand he's relatively cheap and it's a one-year deal, but they went out and got a guy to play the DH every day, and they've looked dangerous since then. I really think that it just shows you the stability that you can get from one guy who can hit for power and average in the middle of your lineup every day can do for you. I wonder if maybe Chaim Bloom's looking at that saying, "Ooh, I got to rethink, the designated hitter position moving forward."
Hopefully, but I want to see a big market move this winter. I want to see him starting to make big market moves. We already talked about there's no reason not to give Devers a big contract. If Andrew gets his way, maybe a big contract goes to Carlos Correa, but I want to start to see some big market moves.
I mean, hell, sign Trevor Story. Like, that's a guy whose value is so low right now compared to what he is as a player and what his numbers are because of Coors Field are a little higher. You could downplay that and get him a little bit cheaper. He can play the shortstop.
I think you're going to see plenty of Trevor Story next year, but he's going to be in pinstripes.
He could be. He's got more errors this year than Xander, if I'm not mistaken.
He's been a little off. I think he's been pressing. He's been miserable. I don't blame him.
He wants out.
He should have. They didn't trade him.
He's upset, and it's showing in his play. But, he's one of, I think, three guys at shortstop that their value has been decreased by one season in a way it shouldn't be. I think Jose Ramirez is up there, and Javi Baez with injuries is up there. People are just they're forgetting how good those guys are. Trevor Story is a legitimate candidate to lead the league in base hits for the next 5 years. He just is. He's that good.
I wouldn't hate that one. I mean, his record of durability is better than some of the other guys. So We'll see. Marcus.
Colorado puts together some good shortstops. I mean, they had Tulowitzki before that. I mean, they put together some really good shortstops. I don't know what they're doing in the scouting department, but whoever that guy is, hire him.
That's true. Tulowitzki was good. Not durable in the end, but good. All right, so we're at the 40-minute mark. We will wrap and be back next week. This crew will be to talk about the Mets series, which could be a tough two-gamer, especially not having Chris Sale in it. But so we'll be back then. We'll be back Sunday night to discuss the Baltimore series as well. Everybody have a good end of your week. Take care.